Welcome to Devotionary and our study of the book of Hebrews, called Better by Far. In keeping with yesterday's passage, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, carries on the author's theme of disbelief. But here he will tie it to rest. Thus today's episode is called, No Rest for the Weary. There's a sense in which the original readers of this letter were struggling with finding rest in the finished work of Christ and were being tempted to turn back to the rules and rituals of Judaism. They were being influenced to believe that faith in Christ alone was not going to be enough. There was more they needed to do. But they were being deceived, and that deception was resulting in disbelief in the promises of God. As always, take time to read the passage for yourself. But now, let's hear about God's rest for the weary. There's an ominous sounding warning in these verses. When the author speaks of the people of God not entering the rest provided for them by God, it can't help but get our attention. But what does he mean when he writes, "Those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of unbelief"? Hebrews 4, verse 6. There have been many over the centuries who have tried to equate the crossing over of the Israelites into the land of Canaan with the death of the believer and their entrance into heaven. But if we apply this analogy to the author's meaning of rest, we'll find ourselves wrestling with the possibility of one losing their salvation. Because he is writing to believers and he is warning them not to make the same mistake as their ancestors in the wilderness. They heard and yet rebelled. They sinned and their bodies fell in the wilderness. They were unable to enter because of unbelief. That last line is key to understanding what is going on in these verses. The issue is that of unbelief. He warned his readers, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God." Hebrews 3, verse 12. He encouraged them to exhort one another that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3, verse 13. The problem with equating the promised land with heaven is that the people of Israel had to immediately go to battle once they entered the land. They had to strive to possess the land and dispossess the people that lived there. Their time in the land of promise was one of testing, conflict, and a constant struggle to trust God rather than their own resourcefulness. Yes, God blessed them. He gave them victories over their enemies. But because of unfaithfulness, they were eventually evicted by God from the promised land and sent into captivity for their rebellion against Him. That's why making the promised land analogous to heaven makes no sense and eventually breaks down. No one will be evicted from heaven because of unbelief. So what is the author talking about? What is the rest he warns against not entering? Several times in these verses, he refers to the good news they had received. For the good news came to us just as to them, Hebrews 4, verse 2. He uses the Greek word euangelizo, which is the same word used by Jesus when referring to the gospel message he preached. It's the same word used by the angels when they told the shepherds in the field of the good news regarding the birth of Jesus. The author of Hebrews says that the people of Israel had heard the good news, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Hebrews 4, verse 2. They heard, but they didn't listen. They heard, but failed to believe the good news given. They had evil, unbelieving hearts. Several times in this passage, the author refers to the Sabbath rest of God. He talks about the fact that God, after having created the universe, rested on the seventh day. The Hebrew word, Shabbat, means rest. God was not tired, but he ceased from his labors because his work had been completed. All that he had intended to do had been done. His will had been accomplished. The writer makes it clear that the entering into the land was not the rest that God intended. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. Hebrews 4, verse 8. In fact, he writes, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Hebrews 4, verse 9. The issue seems to be that of works versus faith. The rest the author is speaking of is the belief that we are to have in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and our complete and total dependence on what He has done for us. We can rest in the sufficiency of His sacrifice. There is nothing more that we need to do. The Jewish audience to whom this letter was addressed had heard the good news regarding Jesus and His sacrificial death on the cross, but they ran the risk of hearing but not listening. They, like their ancestors, were prone to go back to their own methods of attempting to achieve a right standing with God. Rather than resting in the finished work of Christ, they were being tempted to go back to Judaism with all of its rituals and rites. So the author warns them to strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Hebrews 4, verse 11. He is not suggesting that they can lose their salvation, but that their initial belief may not have been belief at all. They had not been fully convinced that God's redemptive work on their behalf was complete. They were not resting in the promise of eternal salvation. They were not trusting in the sufficiency of Christ and the hope of their future redemption. Jesus did not promise us a trouble-free, peaceful life on this earth. He did say, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11, 28-30. And yet, He told His disciples right before His death, "Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." John 16, verses 32-33. Our time on this earth is anything but easy, but we can have peace in the midst of the struggles because we know that He has overcome the world. Our rest is found in the promise of His finished work. He is going to return someday and wrap up what He started and complete what God has given Him to do. It's in that fact that we are to find our rest. The temptation for all of us is to doubt God, to fail to take Him at His word. We can look at the circumstances surrounding us and begin to disbelieve His promises and question the reliability of all that Christ has done. So the author invites us to allow the Word of God as a divine scalpel to penetrate our hearts and expose and remove those thoughts and intentions of the heart that would cause us to doubt and disbelieve God. He wants us to rest in the reality of our future rest. He wants us to trust in His promise of not only our future redemption, but the final restoration of the world. God's will be done, and we can rest in that fact.